Federal judge voided a Trump administration rule last week that would have expanded the ability of doctors and hospitals to refuse to perform certain procedures based on religious or moral grounds. These procedures included abortions or sterilizations, among other issues of conscience. In May, Wisconsin was one of 23 cities, states, and municipalities to file a lawsuit against that rule. That policy was set to go into effect later this month. However, the conscience rule is nothing new when it comes to federal policy. Laws passed in Congress and rules set by the executive branch have been part of the medical landscape for decades. Our next guest joins us to explain conscience rules and how they play a role in policy. Philip Rocco is an assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. Phil, welcome back to Central Time.
Good to be back, Rob.
Well, give us some background on conscience clauses. Excuse me. These weren't things created by the Trump administration. They've been in laws passed by Congress and clarified and altered by the executive branch over the years.
Yeah, so the history of this conscience rules extends really back to the early 1970s. There was a Congress passed some amendments called the Church Amendments that began to put some of these types of rules into federal statutes. Some other amendments passed in the 90s and early 2000s did the same. And really what the executive branch does is it sort of combines these different laws and then makes some regulations around these types of rules. And so the rules that the Trump administration made this past year was really a sort of a reintroduction of something that the Bush administration did in 2008, but which was repealed or taken out of service pretty quickly after it was passed. And so basically what the rule did was it expanded the federal government's ability to punish healthcare organizations that disciplined a doctor or a nurse, some other kind of provider, who refused to participate in a procedure to administer a drug or perform a C-section or other types of procedures that doctors and nurses believe violated their conscience or their religious beliefs. And so it was a really huge expansion. If this would have gone through, the federal government could have terminated funds for hospitals, federal funds, withheld federal payments, suspended award activities, basically as a much bigger federal hammer for hospitals or other entities that the federal government identified as violating conscience rights.
And as you mentioned, these conscience rules date back to the early 70s. That's no coincidence. That's after the Roe versus Wade decision. Was a big part of this saying, okay, abortion is legal, but we're going to make it so that doctors and nurses who believe it's morally wrong don't have to participate in the procedure?
Yeah, absolutely. This is something that conservatives in the executive branch, when conservative presidents get elected, I think have really seen as an important tool for striking back against Roe versus Wade, despite the fact that it remains the law of the land. And so really what you've seen kind of both at the federal level with executive actions and at the state level with restrictions on admitting privileges for doctors who provide abortions and things of that nature has been an attempt to really just make it a lot harder to get an abortion, even if it is still, you know, technically allowed.
And prior to these, or absent these Trump rule changes before they existed and after they're stricken down, there are protections, right, for healthcare providers when it comes to something like abortion. Is that right?
Yeah, there are protections, but I think the key thing that you should think about this rule doing is that it really expanded in a very big way what was considered as discrimination against healthcare providers who perform procedures. So, to give an example, there was a case in New Jersey about 20 years ago where a nurse refused to assist in an emergency C-section because she believed it would lead to the termination of a pregnancy. The hospital that she was at offered to move her to a different unit. They offered to move her to the NICU. She refused, and then she was terminated. She sued in federal court, but the hospital won. Under this rule, she would be able to file a complaint and the hospital could lose all of its federal funds. And so there's this real question about, one, to whom do these kind of conscience rights apply or rules apply? And two, what is actually considered a kind of procedure where these restrictions apply, and under the rule, even something as like a C-section, emergency C-section could have been covered under this rule.
Talking to Phil Rocco, political scientist and healthcare policy expert at Marquette University, looking at a rule put in place by the Trump administration that would have made it easier for healthcare workers to claim discrimination if they refused to provide certain services over religious or ethical grounds. That decision struck down by a court after a lawsuit by states, including Wisconsin. You can join in with your thought on this idea of the conscience clause at 800-642-1234. As I mentioned, Wisconsin, Phil, one of the states involved in this lawsuit. We talked to Attorney General Josh Call earlier in the show. Here's what he had to say about what's happening at the state level here in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin and many other states already have conscience protections in place so that our public policy balances the ability of patients to get the care that they need with the ability of medical providers to opt out of procedures that they have moral or religious objections to providing. We have a carefully balanced law here.
So the attorney, Wisconsin's attorney general there, saying states have this under control, this Trump administration set of rules would preempt these state laws. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the larger issues that came up in this case. And what the plaintiffs in this case really alleged was that the Trump administration, in making this rule, went far beyond what these previous statutes that Congress passed allowed the federal government to do. Including potentially violating other laws that existed, something like EMTALA, which requires people to be treated in emergency rooms, something called Title VII as well, that really sort of contradicted what this rule was trying to do. And so I think that, one of the key things that we're going to have to look at is, number one, does the failure of this rule go into place? Does it spark legislative changes at the state level, for example, to, intensify these conscience rules? Or does it, in fact, lead the Trump administration to go back and revise the rules they tried to make to maybe more narrowly tailor the rule? Because, again, right, these conscience provisions are—they're in a sense already in a few key federal statutes. What the court said in this case was that the Trump administration's attempt to regulate on this was really far too expansive for what the law currently allows.
And the judge in the case pointed to a claim by the Trump administration in implementing these rules that they'd seen a boom in complaints of discrimination under conscience objections, saying I think the number was 343 complaints received in a year. On closer inspection by the judge and in the court, it turned out it was something in the ballpark of 20. With that in mind, is this something that really comes up that much that there needs to be a big to-do about it?
Yeah, this is maybe one of the most interesting parts of the case, which is that, when the federal government makes new regulations, it has to, by law, provide a truthful rationale for why it's doing what it's doing. And the Trump administration leaned hard on this idea that it had seen this sort of unprecedented volume of conscience rule complaints in the past few years. And what the administrative record, in fact, showed was that most of the letters that the federal government said it had received actually had nothing to do with the conscience rule. There were some of them that the federal government counted twice in its count of letters, and which is not to dismiss the objections that were raised in the letters that the federal government received. But if the point was that it was this overwhelming number of letters, that the evidence didn't really show that. And I think this is actually one interesting example that there are, in fact, other examples of the Trump administration doing this. And it's why we've seen a lot of lawsuits filed under something called the Administrative Procedures Act. But lawsuits related to the fact that the Trump administration's evidence that it's bringing to bear to justify its regulations or new rules that it's making is not necessarily airtight. And there are, in fact, a lot of evidentiary gaps some pieces of the administrative record that really don't seem like the administration has done its homework.
Talking to Phil Rocco, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. He's with us to talk about a recent ruling that voided a Trump administration rule allowing doctors and hospitals to refuse certain procedures based on religious or ethical grounds. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this ruling? Do you support the idea of conscience clauses where healthcare providers or systems can say they won't do certain services because of religious or ethical objections, or do you oppose them? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation about the Trump administration's conscience rule that was recently overturned by a federal judge. Phil Rocco is with us, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University, and you can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What do you think about rules that allow doctors or hospitals to refuse to provide certain medical services based on their religious, moral, or ethical beliefs? Should the government make these rules? Should they be stronger than they currently are? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. John is with us in Portage. John, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, John? Yep, go ahead.
Okay. The speaker mentioned it, the rules go back to the 1970s, but they go back way farther than that. They go back to the Hippocratic Oath, which has the original version has a clause that says, I will not give a pessary to a woman to induce an abortion. So this is nothing new. There are other examples that arise, one of which would be a doctor should be able to refuse to do female genital mutilation, for example. Or another example would be to refuse to prescribe Viagra, for example, to someone like Mr. Epstein.
John, thanks for the call. Phil, so, of course, the Hippocratic Oath is not a federal law, so the federal laws date back to the 1970s. But the argument that the Hippocratic Oath creates certain demands of doctors and requirements, our caller saying that they refuse certain services.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question that this raises, and I think one of the interesting political dimensions of this particular issue, is the role of sort of medical expertise and knowledge surrounding procedures that are covered by these kinds of rules. And I think, again, one of the challenges that the judge identified in this case was that the rule, as sort of stated, would not merely include things like abortion related procedures, but also things that were in certain ways much more questionably related to an individual's ethical or religious beliefs. So I think it's an interesting question is, in what ways can regulations attempt to balance some of these concerns? Is it a sort of good tool? To what extent does this actually issue need to return to sort of the legislative arena? Because in one sense, what the Trump administration is trying to do here sort of extended beyond the bounds of what Congress had said. And like, to what extent does this debate over the sort of the boundaries of medical knowledge need to re-enter the legislative arena?
John, thanks for the call. Going out to Mark in Hartford. Mark, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess my take on this whole thing is that when you go to a doctor or any medical professional to get help, you should really be able to get the help that you need or want in some cases. And I think that if religion comes into it, it makes me question the freedom of religion. Should it not be freedom from religion, that you don't have to worry about the person that you're going to see for help's beliefs in order to get better or take care of something medically?
Mark, thanks for the call. And that's a concern often raised about conscience clauses, Phil, is about the impact on patients seeking certain medical services.
Right. And that's sort of one of the interesting issues that was raised by the plaintiffs in the case, was whether or not this rule in fact violated the Establishment Clause of the Constitution, that government shall make no law establishing sort of a state religion. The judge ultimately rejected that argument, but I think the sort of the concern that was raised in sort of other parts of the decision was, in a sense, because of the overbroadness of the rule and the fact that there's so many different types of procedures that potentially it could have applied to. And I should say that this is not just related to abortion. It is also related to access to care for religious minorities, sex trafficking victims, LGBT folks. The religious and ethical exemptions actually extends far beyond the subject of abortion. That you know, the judge's sort of argument in the decision was that that it's actually very difficult to have all of those types of procedures covered, and sort of creates a problem of reliance. Right? Can patients sort of rely on providers to provide the care that they need?
Mark, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Phil Rocco from Marquette University about conscience clauses. A Trump administration rule was overturned by a judge. That rule would have greatly expanded federal enforcement of laws that allow doctors, nurses, other healthcare providers to opt out of providing services that they say contradicts their religious and ethical beliefs. We asked people what they thought of this on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Danita says, yes, she supports the idea of a conscience clause, but only if it doesn't keep a patient from receiving those services in a timely and convenient manner. For example, a doctor, she says, in a hospital could excuse him or herself only if there's another doctor in the hospital that can provide the service the same day. And Phil, that's something that people talk about, the practicalities of something like this. Is there going to be that other doctor available?
Yeah, and I think this is one issue that really relates to it's interesting how many other issues this issue touches. So this relates to the true variation in access to care around the country. Having somebody else who can perform a needed procedure, like an emergency C-section, for example, might not be too hard in Newark, New Jersey, for example, at a hospital in Newark, New Jersey. But, you know, in a very remote place, critical access hospital in rural Pennsylvania, for example, finding somebody else to perform the procedure might be difficult, given scheduling and staffing limitations. That might be more difficult still. And so, you know, you like to imagine perhaps that there's just sort of one effect of this rule, no matter where you live or who you are. But the reality is the rule is going to, you know, if it had gone into effect, would really impact different communities differently. And I think that that's sort of one thing that in rulemaking that is important to think about, which is like, really, how will this impact the people that are covered by these policies? And the answer is, it really depends on where you live.
And Phil, in our last minute or so, what are you watching for on this issue of conscience protections for healthcare providers?
Well, I think there are three things that could be happening in the next few months. First, the rule was vacated, but the Trump administration could actually go back and revise it and try to come up with something more narrowly tailored. A second thing that the Trump administration could do is try to appeal the case up to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and we'll have to watch for that decision as it comes out. And it's quite possible then that there would be a Supreme Court case perhaps next term on this. But for the moment, The rule has been vacated. Providers do not need to consider it for the moment going into effect. It's not the law of the land currently.
Phil, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
We've been talking to Phil Rocco, assistant professor of political science at Marquette University. He joined us today to talk about a recent judge's ruling that voided a Trump administration rule that allowed hospitals or doctors to refuse certain procedures based on religious or moral grounds. The Trump administration would have strengthened enforcement of existing laws. That court decision means, as Phil just said, it is not currently the rule of the land. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, a guest makes the case for five policies the U.S. should adopt that are all unpopular with the public. There's almost sure to be something you disagree with. We have that up at the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can get out, go on there and disagree with it. Get a head start right now. The flu season is off to an early start in Wisconsin. A state disease expert joins the show with the latest on the spread of influenza and talks about efforts to get people vaccinated and the state of this year's vaccine and how well it matches up with what we're seeing so far in the actual virus. The curator of the International Spy Museum joins the show. He'll share some plans from the intelligence community over the decades that never quite made it off the drawing board. We'll meet the author of the new book called Nuking the Moon. That and look at some of the top news of the day. It's coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.